Come on, y'all already standing. Y'all know how we do. Let's celebrate God real quick. Come on, real. I know you've been praising him. Come on, but this is a real good place just to get that little extra. If you've been living a good life because of him, one time we shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all can be seated real quick, and then y'all can stand up again in a second. I want to take a minute just to say thank you guys for allowing me to be a part of this, to celebrate with you as you are going through this Good Life series. I do want to take a second and celebrate your pastor and your pastor. Come on, can y'all help me celebrate both of them and the ministry? You know, most people kind of see them where they are, and you guys have, some of you have kind of walked with them. You just don't know all of the challenges and the struggles and the stresses and the sacrifices that it takes to do any type of ministry, particularly effective ministry, the way that they have done it. And I always say this about your pastor. He is one of the most disciplined men that I know. Competitive for sure, but disciplined. Man that I know, and you guys have a jewel in both of them, and so to you guys, I want you to know how excited I am to be able to share. Don't take this lightly, and then proud I am of what you are doing, how you are doing it, and what God is doing through you. And I believe that better is on the way. It's gonna get gooder and gooder, and I'm looking forward to all God's gonna do with you, to you and the kids. And so we celebrate them. My kids are here, so I want to highlight them real quick. D and Jazz, raise your hand real quick. Yes. My wife was here this morning, so the best, you know, they put the best up first, and I celebrate her. We have some Gethsemane members and family all over the building. Can y'all Gethsemane just wave your hand? I see y'all out there. Yeah, they came through. They came through. And then Reverend Carl, that's my ride guy. Anytime we need to do anything, including eat, we get to hook up. And so I want to say I thank you and appreciate you. Appreciate you a lot. To everybody who's made this happen, and I say that not out of cliche or rhetoric, it takes a lot of people sacrificing and serving. Guys, you know, what you guys see on Sunday, people have been rehearsing all week for this. They've been praying all week, laboring all week. And so can we celebrate everyone who's led so far, the worship team, the band is back here working, the media team, the whole greeting squad, security, it takes everybody. I want to invite you to be a part of that. I'm not even officially a part of this church. I'm like unofficially peer. But I want to invite you to get involved, be a part. Sunday's a good start, but it's not the end. I want you to get in and get connected to both our worship leaders and announcements, celebrate you, Ian the fam. Whew. Got all that out. Y'all ready? Galatians chapter 5. Let's get there real quick. Galatians 5. And I actually want to start at verse 19. Galatians 5:19. And I'm going to probably stop at verse 22. Galatians 5:19 to 22. Galatians 5:19 through 22. Galatians 5:19 through 22. I was trying to figure out how to learn the Bible, and I'm real simple. I'm simple, probably a little childish, but I'm real simple. And Paul wrote a whole bunch of books. He wrote Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians in that order. And I memorized them by saying, God eats popcorn. I know. That's it. God eats popcorn. I don't know if he do or not, but God eats popcorn. God eats popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You might need that later. Like you might be, you know, you might be on a trivia show and need to be able to say those in order. Or you might get to the heaven gates. He might be like, what? As soon as you do, like, God, you eat popcorn. Just do it just like that and see what you get. God eats popcorn. And I say that jokingly, but I also say that to suggest that if you're reading your Bible today, you ought to be reading it throughout the week. Right? If you, I play ball a little bit, and I watch ball. And I take care of ball. I do it. You don't want to be a Christian that only opens up your Bible and clicks on it on Sunday. You want to learn the tool that God has given you. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. So check this out. What book are you in? What chapter? We start reading at verse and stop at verse 22. You got it. Here's the New International Translation. It says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, adultery and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. This is God's word. You may be seated. And again, I want to encourage you to read this on your lunch break. Include it in your own personal time. Other people's social media posts are good, but make your own. Make sure you get it for yourself. I want to maybe just kind of tag our time together. It takes one to know one. Yeah, it takes one to know one. Somebody shout that out loud. It takes one to know one. To know, okay, y'all just not gonna say nothing. You're just gonna look at me like I can see you not saying nothing. Come on, let's try that again. I can see you silent. I can do that. Come on, one more time. It takes one to know one. Pray with me real quick. Father, we thank you for this time. I pray now preaching power. I pray understanding. I pray that you break down barriers of fatigue and God, whatever causes us to lose focus and attention during this time, text messages, emails, DMs that are getting ready to kind of hit our phones through notifications, put them on pause just for a moment. God, we need to hear your word. We listen to so many other conversations. There's so many other people in our ear. We don't want to show up here and leave without knowing you have words for us. So speak, God. Share with us your insights. Give us your solutions. Speak so that we are healed. Most importantly, God, give us purpose so that as we walk out of these doors, we know what we're supposed to do, who we're supposed to connect with so that we can draw others to you. God, that's the prayer. We ask it in the name that is above every name. It's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Come on, if you know God has a blessing for you, we shout amen. 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 It takes one to know one. My wife was here earlier, and I love Boo. Boo is anointed, cute, and we often go out to eat, and when we do, it's always this moment. And not too long ago, we were out with a large group of people, and while we were out eating, the young lady who was getting her meal beside me, she got her little something, and I got my little something, and we sat down. It was buffet style, and the person sitting across, when we both sat down, looked at our plates, and I could tell something was going on in her mind. She was standing at my plate. I had little chicken, little salmon, little something green. You know, it looked like it was good for me. She looked at the person beside me, and she said, that's the better plate. I said, wait a minute, Dad, why you on my plate like that? I'm going to eat what I got. She says, no, that's the better plate. And she looked at her. She said, how long you been vegan? And I said, wow. I watched her make her plate. I was beside her while she made her plate, but I didn't even recognize that all she was put on her plate were vegetables. It just didn't cross my mind, didn't even pay attention to it. And so starting this conversation, because she's making me feel like I should have had all vegetables too, I'm saying, how did you know that she was vegan? How did you know that she was, you know, and she looked at it. She started breaking down everything that was on her plate. And then they started this conversation and they started talking about all of these calories and lack of calories. And they had this whole conversation and I was staring at both of them. I wasn't even eating my food because I was trying to figure out what they were talking about as they were talking about their food. And I said, stop for a minute. How did y'all know all of this information? And old girl beside me says, you must not be vegan. I was like, no, I'm not. And that's when it dawned on me that it takes one to know one, that because they were similar, because they were alike, because they enjoyed the same thing the same way, they were able to engage in a conversation. And my brothers and sisters, if you miss everything else about today, I would submit to you that when we talk about this idea of what is good, what is not, what is goodness, what is bad, there's one thing you must understand is that goodness is indeed something that flows from God. The goodness is not something that starts people first. It is not something that is based on your financial status or your fitness. It is not based on how you live, where you live, what you wear, what you drive. Goodness is something that only comes from God. And since it only comes from God, you have to know him well in order to understand what's good for you. That's the whole message. I'm suggesting that no matter what I say after this, no matter what you read or what people tell you, that the only way you will ever identify what is good for you is you must be need with God for you, that you do not figure out what is good for you unless you understand God for you. One more time, you will not be able to discern, understand, grasp, or comprehend what is good for you until you understand what is God for you. Why would I say that? Because it takes one to know one, that in order for you to grasp what God really wants to do in your life, what is right for you, what direction you ought to go, where you ought to work, what school you ought to attend, who you ought to be booed up with, or where you're supposed to go when you leave here, it is going to take you having a real relationship with God. Because one of the things you must understand about goodness is that sometimes goodness can seem subjective. Oh, yeah, I'm going to say that again. I said it can seem subjective because what may be good for you may not necessarily be good for her. What might be goodness for me, it might not be goodness for you. What may be goodness for them may not be goodness for us all. And if we are not careful, we will assume that everything that feels good is good, but I'm here to tell you that just because it feels good doesn't mean it's always good for you. Just because it looks good does not mean it's going to be good for you. Just because they smell good, just because they got that lip gloss and lace front right with the Louis Vuitton, and it doesn't always mean it's going to be good for you. And today's message is understanding that if you're going to figure out what goodness is for you, what good is for you, it's not going to be you comparing yourself to other people. It's not going to be you comparing what you've seen somebody else post. It's not going to be you watching to see who else prays, who had the position, who stacked the paper, who secured the bag. You will only figure out what is good for you based on what God has for you. The old school church says it like this: what God has for you, it is for you. And I need somebody just to look at your neighbor and say, you got to know God first. You got to know him, because when you know God, you can figure out what is good. That's why I'm here. I'm here to help you to understand that there's something about things that look good that may not be God that often cause us to be off track. That's what's happening in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians is an interesting book. Because it's a book written by this guy by the name of Paul, or depending on when you met him, they also call him Saul. Interestingly enough, he is both Paul and Saul. Contrary to popular belief, his name was not changed. He was simply called Paul or Saul based on where you met him and how you knew him. If you knew him in the Greek, they would call him Saul. But if you knew him through some of his other relationships, they would call him Paul. This is important because he was the same person, but he was different based on where he was. And can I tell you that inside of you, it's not this individual person that can only do one thing or accomplish one thing. You have in you the same Trinitarian God who allows you to do more than one thing and be more than one thing. And the problem is people will box you into only being a thing to make you think that you can only do it this way, and that's the only way it's good. But when you understand God, you will understand God being a Trinity can't even do one thing at a time. Every time he does something, it automatically happens in multiples, which means you can't be limited to one thing. You can't be limited to one place. You can't be limited to one school of thought. You can't be limited to just one vocation. You cannot be limited. And sometimes you will be made to feel that if you do anything outside of what people have deemed appropriate, that somehow you are wrong. But I'm here to tell you, when you understand God, boo, bruh, some things you do that people don't understand can still be good. Oh, come on. I thought I have about 20 people right there that could say that was my Independence Day. Because what I tried to do was liberate you from living under the limits and the laws of little people who have no good intentions for what God wants to do through you. Many of us are limited to our environment, so you will always be stuck being called Saul. Many of us are limited because of what family has said you can and can't do, so they always call on you, Saul. Many of us are limited by the financial and economic status status that you used to have. And so although you got a little more money, you still acting like Saul. But can I tell you that when you get to know Jesus for yourself, he will introduce you to the Paul version of you. And the Paul version of you is a globetrotter. The Paul version of you knows how to do things that eyes haven't seen and ears have not heard. The Paul version of you will walk up to a door. They'll shut the door. He'll stand there because he knows God will open up closed door. The Paul version of you doesn't wait to get a blessing, but he points up and prays because he knows that with God, he can go window shopping and pick out a blessing, because God said he would open up the windows, pour out blessings, press them down, shake them together, and make them run over. What I'm trying to tell you is that before we talk about goodness, we've got to know who talked about goodness. And this is Saul and Paul, because he was never limited by the limited minds of people, but he always knew there was something greater on the inside. And this might not be for everybody, so if it's not you, you can go ahead and plan your brunch. But I need about 15 people who can say, honestly, I felt limited, but now what you're telling me is I've been set free. There were moments that you knew there was something else, but because the people around you could never get along with you, you started to question who you were, God. But if I could, I would tell you, you go ahead and go after it. And what you will discover is greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You go ahead and go after it. And if you go after it, he'll make the crooked places straight. If you go after it, he'll take the valley and lift it up. He'll take the mountain and knock it down. He'll take the water and you'll walk right across it. They'll throw the fire and you'll walk through and you won't get burned. Look at your neighbor, say, there's goodness that's designed for me. And sometimes we can live in the limit of one or the other, but I'm here to tell you that if you walk with God, God has a way of doing more with little, even when limited people try to lock you down. Oh God, if I had real Sunday school time, I would tell you they kept trying to lock up Paul. They couldn't keep him in the prison. Paul mess around, get into prison and start praising and worshiping, singing songs about how he cannot be shaken. And while he was still, the rocks would start moving. The jailhouse would open up. You know why? Because when people tried to limit him, there was something that kept lifting him. And I'm here to free somebody today and tell you that what you were going after that people could not comprehend does not mean it was bad for you. It was God for you. But people who don't know God can't understand what's good when God gives it to you, because they're still limited to what they tried to do that didn't work. But I'm here to tell you, if you take one step, my grandmama said, God will take two, and he will show up for you. Now, that's about 10 of y'all. Come on, y'all walk with me, because if you'll notice, it's not just written by Paul, but this is a letter that he wrote. This is an email that he sent. It's a text message that he delivered. It's a DM that Paul sends to these people in Galatia. You got to know the people before I get to the meat. The people that are in Galatia are both Jew and they're Gentile. But among them are this group of people that they refer to as Judaizers. And the Judaizers were a group of people who felt like all of the new things that were happening were bad and awful, but all the old things had to still be true. And Paul has to go and speak to them. He says, listen, I know what y'all think. I know you're still holding on to some old school, but I've got some new school for you. And what I want to do is confirm for you that we are now saved by grace, that we now have this thing in Jesus that is different than what used to be. And so he says to them, I want you to understand that there are some things, this is the part that got me, that are obviously wrong, but then there's also the fruit of the Spirit. Pastor, that's the part that got me, because if you start at verse 19, it says that everything in the flesh is obvious, and then it lists all of these ridiculous things that we know without doubt are wrong. But then he says there's also this edible arrangement that we call that we call the fruit of the Spirit, and this arrangement has been designed for you because it will allow you to walk and not have to worry about the law. But what was really interesting to me is he said, whatever we do in the flesh is obvious. What he did not say is that the fruit of the Spirit were obvious. He said, when you see wrong, you know it already. When you see what is grimy, you can identify it. When you know people who are against you, you have no problem discerning it. When you are doing what you know know is not godly, there's something in you that will convict you. Wrong is obvious. Bad, you do not miss. What is out of pocket, we can quickly identify. However, when we get to the fruit of the Spirit, he does not say that these are obvious. When we talk about goodness, he does not say that you will easily identify them. Could it be that it's a possibility that there is a God goodness and there is a bad goodness, because there is a goodness that feels good to you, but it's not God for you. And even though the flesh negative is obvious, what is good is not always obvious. I wish I could sit beside you and read some text messages that are in your phone, because it would confirm that there are some things you jumped after that you thought were good, only to discover before it was over that it was the worst thing you could have ever done. I wish you would just tell the truth and shame the devil and just show your phone up top. I would read it and I would show you that the boo you thought was going to be the boo forever was really just a boo for the night. That's why they're trying to have Bible study at 3 a.m. in the morning. Y'all ain't reading no Bible at 3 a.m. in the morning. And what was happening is something that felt good to you at the night, you tried to carry over to the week, but it was never designed to go past the moment. And although you thought it was good, you held on to it. You know why? Because good is not always obvious. You tried it. You went after it. You saw what they were offering on the job. You saw what they were going to give you as a promotion. You saw the office that you were going to get. And because it looked good, you went after it. You know why? Because good is not obvious. And when good is not obvious, you've got to figure out a way to discern what is godly good and what is bad but looks good. Otherwise, you'll be chasing after the wrong type of good. And now you're still a Christian that is a carnivore instead of a faithful Christian that's being on fruit. And sometimes, as quiet as it's kept, you are doing something that you really thought was good, only to discover that it had absolutely no God in it. People will show you things and present it as if it's good. That's why our schools are the way they are. Our government is the way it is. Our families are being fractured. Communities are being crushed. Finances and economics are falling and erupting because there are people who go after what looks good only to discover that it is not God. You have seen it in recent days that people will pass legislation and bills, but beauty is clearly in the eyes of the beholder, because what we discover is just because it looks good does not mean it will be good. And I'm here today quickly just to confirm for somebody who can be honest that there have been some things you went after only to discover that it was not as good in the end as it was in the beginning. And you can say, look, since you're here, can you help me discern God good from bad good? That's all I need. I need about three people who can say, I just need a little help because I've gone after what I thought was good only to be grounded. I've gone after who I thought was good only to find out that they did like me, but they loved two other people too. I went after what was good only to discover I made the money, but I lost my mind trying to keep up with crazos on that job. I went after what was good, but then I realized that they were only with me for what they could get from me, but didn't want to give anything back. And now you have drained yourself and are not even capable of loving the next person because you gave all your love to the last person. And now you're trying to figure out how to get back to what is godly good. Is there anybody here that can just be honest and say, I need to know what God good sounds like? Paul's there. And Paul told me to tell you that when he was writing about God good and bad good, because what is wrong is obvious, but what is good could seem subjective. He said, the first thing you must understand about what is godly goodness is godly goodness always goes beyond what is ordinary. Notice he writes, and when he writes, he writes these nine fruits of the Spirit, but he does not start off with saying the fruit of the Spirit are good. Because if he had started off with the fruit of the Spirit starting off with goodness, then you would assume that everything after that starts to feel good. What he did was he put goodness right after kindness, because kindness should be automatic. Goodness comes after kindness. Okay, maybe this. That you do not reward people and say they're good when they're doing what is already expected. Gosh.
And if you're saying this is good when they're only doing what was ordinary, then you missed out on the fact that that was already to be expected. Goodness comes after the ordinary. And what will happen is you will meet someone, you will go on the job, you will try to acquire the thing, you will make the purchase based on what it looks like in the moment, because in the moment it was something. But God does not move in the ordinary or the regular or the mundane or the simplistic. Our God always goes over and beyond. You do know the God I serve, because remember, you can't even recognize good that's bigger than kindness if you don't know him. But if you know him, then you understand that God never does the ordinary, the regular, or the mundane, or the simple. God always does over and the. Have y'all read y'all Bible? The Bible says things that he'll pour until your cup overflows. The Bible says he will do exceedingly and abundantly more than what we can think or ask. The Bible says when he blesses you, he gives you so much that you don't even have room enough to receive it. The Bible says that when he blesses you, it's so much that he wants to give more, so he presses it down, shakes it together, and he does it so it runs over. And what we keep doing with people and with situations and with our purchases and with our jobs and with our schools is we keep seeing something that is ordinary and we keep saying it is good or goodness. But I'm telling you, goodness does not kick in until you get to the overflow. Goodness does not kick in until it's more than what you were expecting. Goodness is not going out on the day. Goodness is he opened the door and he paid the meal and he took me home and didn't want nothing from it. Goodness, it's not that you got the job that pays you more than the minimum wage. It's that you got the job that you know you weren't qualified for and they already got the bonus and the promotion. Goodness is not waking up and you feeling better. Goodness is knowing that even with the diagnosis, you can still raise your hand and walk as if you are already healed. Sometimes we minimize God's goodness to what is ordinary and regular, and I'm here to tell you God's goodness doesn't kick in until after you've already got what other people can do. Here's why that's important. It's important because if you do not allow goodness to go beyond what is kind, then you will start attributing goodness to people. Then when people do things, you'll think they're so good. When people treat you right, you'll think they're so good. But I don't think you're good until God does something with you and through you that I know was bigger than you. Anybody can give me $2,000, but when you write the check for $210,000, then I know God has been good. Anybody can say you did a good job, but when you are able to lift somebody's spirit, not just magnify their mind, then I know that God is involved. And we keep giving credit to people for doing what God wanted them to do. You gotta wait and see when they do something that is extraordinary, that is above what is matter, what is bigger than what can be. Look at your neighbor and say, God goes beyond. And for somebody, I would tell you, if you're trying to figure out if this is the good thing for you, if you are living the goodness of life, if you are living in the good life, I would ask you, is it better? Is it greater? Is it more excellent than what you've already had from regular people? Because our God doesn't do the ordinary. God, he won't do it. He'll put you in the boat and tell you to go across, but then he'll walk on the water. He doesn't do the extra, or he doesn't do the ordinary. Jesus will take you and throw you at a cookout and put the music on. They got there, got their boots on the ground, throwing up their fans and starving. He'll say, I just need one little boy with two fish and five loaves. I don't need a whole buffet, and I'll feed 5,000 folks. Jesus will get on a ship in the middle of a storm and go to sleep because he does not do what is ordinary. And then when you get tired and think you're going to drown, he'll step out and tell the storm, peace be still. Jesus will have his friend pass away and not even rush to the funeral. He'll wait 4 days and show up and say, just tell me where he is. He'll walk to the tomb and say, Lazarus, I know the ordinary people put you in the tomb, but because I go beyond, I can bring you out of it. And I'm here to tell you, if God did it for him, he can do it for you. If he did it before, he can do it again. Look at your neighbor and say, he goes beyond in his goodness. He writes it and he says, love, joy, peace, kindness, and then goodness. Because I don't want you to limit good to what is ordinary. That's the first thing. The second thing he does, if you walk with me, he says that you identify goodness. I just got excited. You identify goodness because goodness builds a bridge. I promise I didn't say it because I'm here. Goodness builds a bridge. Notice where he put it. He's really intentional in his writing. He puts goodness right in between kindness and faithfulness. It's very strategic because God does not do anything by accident. Matter of fact, if I could, I would tell you, you're not alive by accident. You're not here by happenstance. Your birth was not a blooper. If you're here, it is because God has purpose. And when he writes on purpose. So here's what he does. He says that there is kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And goodness builds the bridge between kindness and faithfulness. Y'all awake? Here's why that's important. Because if you get kindness without consistency, you can't say it's good yet. Okay. If you have consistency, but it's not kind, just because it happens all the time, doesn't mean it's good. Are y'all getting it? But when you have kindness that is faithful, consistent, then we can conclude this must be good. Ah, gosh. Okay. All right. Ladies, help me out. If you meet, fellas, a young lady on a Monday, she nice to you. So you call her Tuesday, you call her Wednesday, you call her Thursday, you call her Friday, but don't call Saturday, don't call Sunday, don't call Monday, and then call back Tuesday. When you call back Tuesday, brace yourself. Because while you're excited about calling to talk again, she wanna know where you been. Come on, ladies, just help me out, right? And so the fellas, we thought we were doing something that was kind by calling. The problem is the kindness was disrupted because there was no consistency. Because whenever there is a lack of consistency, it brings into question all of the kindness. And if the kindness is not consistent, then this ain't good. And some of us are slapping God's goodness on things that have never been consistent. You slap God's goodness on something that felt good in the moment. You felt you slapped God's goodness on something that happened because you prayed for it and it happened one time. And so now you're saying God has blessed you. You have slapped God's goodness on an experience that caused some temporary excitement and some butterflies in your stomach. But what I'm trying to tell you is just because it felt good in the moment, if the kindness is not connected to faithfulness that is consistent, then there's a chance that all you got is kind, but you don't have good. If they are faithful and consistent, but what they are doing doesn't make you feel good. What they are doing is demeaning you. Where they are calling you to doesn't give you value. What you are experiencing doesn't lift your head up. Then just because it is consistent does not mean it is good, because it can be consistent and abusive. It could be consistent and demeaning. It could be consistent and wearing you out. But when you have kindness that is bridged with goodness and you get consistency, then you will discover that the Lord is on your side. Oh God, and I don't know who I'm preaching to, but can I tell you, it takes one to know what. And the way that you can identify situations that God has built the bridge for goodness is think about what he's done for you. Hasn't God been consistent? Hasn't God been kind? Okay, y'all not clapping. Lamentation says his mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. James says it like this, that if you can bring the elders together, and you will discover that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Why? Because they don't just pray on Sunday. They don't just pray when their backs are against the wall. They don't just pray when they don't have money in the bank. But even on a good day, they'll say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. With money in the bank, they'll say, God, thank you for what you've already given. You got to understand that goodness builds the bridge. Goodness comes after kindness and connects us to faithfulness. I guess that's next week, so I won't deal with it. But if I did deal with it, I would tell you that you can figure out what goodness is based on how faithful it's going to be, how consistent it's going to be, how long-lasting it is. Because anybody can put on a good face for a moment, Mary Kay, Mac, Maybelline. Anybody can make you feel good for the opportunity. Anybody can hire you and make it look like it's going to be great for a time period. Anybody can give you something that could be good at the time, but you've got to know that there's a bridge with kindness and consistency. That's the last thing, and I'm done. Because goodness goes beyond kindness. Goodness builds a bridge between kindness and consistency, but then goodness breaks the law. I'm so sorry. Goodness, not government laws. Goodness breaks the laws of limited-minded people. That oftentimes what is godly good for you will not be understood by all the people that you're with. Notice what Paul says. Paul says that against these there is no law. But what he's saying is, he's not saying that there won't be people against you. He's not saying that there won't be adversaries. What he's simply suggesting is when you start to do it, what you will understand is that everybody will not understand what goodness is like for you. But today I give you permission to dream bigger. Today I give you permission to have faith that is larger. Today I give you permission to operate in a goodness that is connected to God, not our government, not our school systems, not your boo, not your family only, but it is to understand that God will supply all of your needs. It is to understand that when God starts to do things that are good for you and operates in what is goodness, you will discover that you will only be able to do what God has already given you power to do. Anything outside of his will, the Bible says, it will not allow you to access the kingdom. But when you operate in God-like goodness, there is what we call civil disobedience. There are moments where you're going to have to speak up when everybody else sits down. There are going to be moments you'll have to go when everybody else stays back. There are going to be moments you're going to have to stand when everybody else sits down. There will be moments that you'll have to be the change agent God calls you to be. I know it, because this is written by a man by the name of Paul, and Paul will tell you that he was shipwrecked, that Paul was whipped 3 times, that Paul was ridiculed, that Paul was misunderstood, but Paul was the very one God used to do good things. And as I close today, I submit to you that when you understand who God is, you will understand what is good. Why? Because it takes one to know what. A matter of fact, he was so good that they didn't understand him, Jesus, because when he went to the cross, they actually crucified him, not realizing who he was. One writer says it like this: if they had known who he was, they would not have crucified our Savior. And I submit the same to you, that there is a level of goodness that you will experience. There will be a goodness that you will exercise. There will be a goodness that you will live in and walk out. And as you're living in it and walking in out, it will not be understood by all, but as long as you're with God, everything will work out for your good. A matter of fact, it was preached earlier today. David says it like this. David says, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And I leave here today by submitting to someone that your good may not look like everybody else's good. Your blessing won't look like everybody else's blessing. Your path will not be everybody else's path. Paul will tell you that what God has for you may not be what he has for others, but if you stay in God, you will find a goodness that transcends all. The flesh is obvious. John Bevere writes a book. He says there's a difference between what is good, what is God, because the flesh is obvious, but what's good can often seem subjective. And today, God's message for you is simply stay with him, and he'll show you what goodness really is. Can I pray with you, Father, in Jesus' name? God, today we're praying for discernment. God, in Jesus' name, we're praying that you open up the eyes of our heart. God,
God, in Jesus' name, I'm praying that you move us beyond the feeling and beyond the sensuality and beyond, God, the previous conceived ideas of what should be and what has to be. And God, set us free. Liberate us to go after what you would have for us. Liberate us to go after what we believe you're calling us to. Liberate us to go after the goodness that only comes from you, not a goodness that can be man-manufactured, a goodness that can be produced by people who can also take from us what they have given. God, we receive what you alone have for us. I pray in Jesus' name that you would draw these, your children, closer to you. To know you is to know goodness. To know you is to know the path we ought to walk. To know you is to understand the people we ought to connect to. To know you is to understand where we ought to work, what ministries we ought to launch, what places we ought to go. God, to know you is to understand goodness. And so I pray in Jesus' name that what you did with Paul, you would do it with us. That you would lead us and guide us, establish purpose in our life. And God, we'll be careful. We'll be careful to honor you and to glorify you and to give you all praise. God, this is our prayer. I pray finally that as we walk out, God, we understand better. You give us discipline to go forward after, to walk away from, to hold on tightly to, and to let go of. I pray in Jesus' name for the goodness of the Lord while we're in the land of the living. It is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Come on, all over the building. Put your hands together. Shout amen.